This is the Morning Scramble. Jeff and Cindy Hoyt here with you, and joining us now from the Big Island of Hawaii, Jane Howard. Jane.
Good morning, Vashon Ice.
There
it's
you
so
are.
So good to hear your voice.
Yours as well. It feels very comforting.
Yeah, well, tell us where you are right now.
We are holed up in a not too shabby vacation rental here in Hawaiian Paradise Park, which is on the east flanks of the Big Island of Hawaii.
So you're
still on the east side.
After a little announcement of a meeting, a USGS meeting up in Volcano last night, we're not feeling too safe even here. They're expecting some big stuff coming down.
Oh, well, I read yesterday about the lava lake there up at the top in the national park is dropping. The level of the lava is dropping, and that if it reaches the water table, that it could cause some explosions or something that would just shoot huge monstrous rocks out of the top of the volcano. Is that what are you hearing about that?
Yeah, pretty much what you just described is what they showed, a lot of graphs, and their prediction is starting Friday that there could be some major reactions, and it could mean it comes out of the fissures explosively as well.
Oh, my.
What will you do in that event?
Well, we're just taking stock right now. We're trying to figure that out. We're actually trying to get our little survival kits together with some containers of water, and we, you know, our particulate and gas masks in our car, and just to be at least somewhat self-contained with some food, and we're trying to figure that out right now. It's not very comfortable right now.
So you did have was your car parked elsewhere when this started erupting, because you were on vacation at the time?
Yeah, we came back on Thursday, but wasn't able to get back over to the east side until Friday, and people had already been evacuating, so we had about, you know, limited time. Actually, it was about 8 minutes to go in and retrieve a vehicle that was on our property, and it was very, very sketchy.
Yeah.
Going in.
Did you have to wear, like, a gas mask or something?
We saw a picture of you in a gas mask.
Yeah, apparently they're only good for about 10 minutes, and depending on how you breathe and whatnot, and of course you're all amped up, so you're hyperventilating, but it doesn't save your skin and your eyes.
No.
We all felt like we had sunburn, and very uncomfortable.
Wow.
Sunburn, like from the mustard? Not mustard, the sulfur gas?
Yeah, SO2. And then when it rains, which it is right now, the SO2, or the hydrochloric acid.
Oh, gosh.
It creates sulfuric acid.
I mean, yeah,
hi, Doug.
Hi, Cindy.
Wow, acid rain. Lovely.
Yeah, acid mist. Yeah, it isn't lovely. Everything metal. We just got a stainless steel chimney that we ordered from the mainland on the fireplace that I built.
Uh-huh.
And it's beautiful and shiny like a chrome bumper. Now it's all rusty and it's black. And red. It's kind of a strange feeling. Everything was so green and lush before, and now the sulfur dioxide and the acid rain is killing everything. It looks like a war zone. It's really quite sad.
Oh, so the vegetation is also dying, even if it's not hit by the lava itself.
Exactly, because the air quality of the vegetation is dying.
How long
is it? Very surreal.
Jane Howard, Doug Ringer, former Islanders. You guys moved out to the Big Island when?
In 2012.
Okay. So you've been there for about 6 years. And, you know, we see the pictures on Facebook, and it just looks like you've built this lovely place, and you get a lot of visitors from the mainland, I'm sure, who are all worried about you. And
several from the island who have already been expressing worry to us.
On Monday, Jane, you told me that the nearest flowing lava was about 500 feet from your house. What's the situation now?
All the fissures have actually paused. A new one broke out last night, both down east on the rift zone, so out just at the base of the subdivision, which cut off any access from the bottom anyway. And then from the top on the west side, the major highway 130 had a huge crack and fissure, so they closed that. So now they're looking at the whole Kalapana side, meaning to potentially evacuate or be cut off.
I've been curious, people being what they are, have there been any looters with all these abandoned homes, temporarily at least?
Yes, so far, but there's no consensus on how many there are, but just reading earlier this morning, which is...
I think we lost Doug.
Hello? Doug, are you there?
Uh-oh,
oh, looks
sounded,
like we lost
that
him.
That sounded bad. I think we lost the whole thing.
Well, we'll just call him right back.
Yes, let's do.
Yeah, I'm going to do that right now.
Jeff and I were talking last night and just thinking, okay, if you had 8 minutes to get everything out of your house that you could get into your car, what would you take? I mean, we think about that a little bit around here with earthquakes and mudslides, but this is like the clock is really ticking because your gas mask will only last 10 minutes and your retreat could be cut off by a lava flow if you don't get in and out of there quickly. So do you take clothes? Do you take, I don't know, your favorite saute pan? Or do you grab your laptop?
There you are. Got him back.
Stand I'm not by. Hearing it through my headphones.
Oh, you will in a second. There you are. Jane, you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're here.
Looks like we had the call drop there.
So tell us about this 8 minutes you had. How do you prioritize?
What do you choose to put in the bags?
And you know that you're not sure when you're going to get back there. How did you figure out what do you take?
Well, we had created lists en route, so I had it, on paper and in my mind what the priorities were. Obviously, important documents, your passport, any identification, house plans, I don't know, important papers and photos, any kind of heirlooms. But when we got there, it was just get the van and get out.
Yeah.
So, the priority list, completely evaporated from my mind because it was more, that's whatever you can grab and get out. It was really uncomfortable being in there. And anytime the wind might change, I mean, it's really dangerous.
Yeah.
10 minutes and you could be dead.
Yeah, well, on New Zealand television the other day, they were talking to you guys, and you described rocks falling out of the sky all around you.
Yeah, that was helping out a neighbor that was actually a little bit further west than us. And, yes, they were kind of at the biggest...
epicenter of the biggest eruption, the present eruption. They were probably only 600 feet away, and they were getting showered and pelted with the small lava about the size of gravel, sea gravel-ish, that spouting up 200, 300 feet in the air and was landing on them as they were trying to load their truck.
And would these be hot rocks, or would these be just rocks that were just...
Absolutely.
Yeah, man.
So absolutely hot.
Could even ignite
not
things.
But about like the size of pea gravel, but a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Will your house... Will your house be habitable, do you think? I mean, if the lava doesn't get to it, if it's only the acid rain, once all of that blows over, do you think the neighborhood will be livable again?
Well, I think people are saying that, 99% said they would go back and start over again. And I'm sure in time they'd plow the roads and you could get through. And nature will, thrive and take over things. Will grow back. But the thing is, no one really knows how long this is going to last. This could be 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very a lot of acreage.
it could bury the whole area.
So people, they're saying, go in now, get what you can get. So, I mean, every day you wake up contemplating, should I just go back and get that one thing that I forgot that's under the bed that I meant to get?
Oh, it's sure. Yeah.
And, you know, it's really a struggle because it's a gamble. And you have to leave at a moment's notice if you can get out. I mean, we had one exit route open, and it, some people got in after us and out that way, but at the time, the pavement was cracking up.
Yeah, the biggest worry is getting in and getting trapped because there's no way to get out.
Right.
Where we are, and we have to go. We're kind of the east side of the danger zone, so it's really not even worth it for us to go in. And we have to go too far through the toxic gas. Some people on the west side they can get in still and get out, but we can't get through the toxic gas. By the time we get to our place, we wouldn't make it to our place.
If someone got trapped in there, would a helicopter be able to evacuate you, or can helicopters fly in this?
No, they made it very clear. You're on your own. They said, you know, we've advised you that these are areas that are barricaded and, you know, we're not coming after you. So you're on your own.
Doesn't sound like it's worth the risk.
Well, that's what we figured. It is super risky.
Mm-hmm. How long has it been since there was any volcanic flow in that particular neighborhood?
1,000 years.
1,000 years. Wow. So you would have felt fairly confident building there.
And tell us a little bit about the community there. It is Leilani Estates, correct?
Correct. Yes.
And there's a lot of homes there. Is it mostly folks from the mainland who have built a home on the island? Are there a lot of native Hawaiians there? Describe the neighborhood to us.
Well, it's a mix. I mean, it's a little bit of everything. There's some parts of the estates that where you can have chickens, and there's no kind of, you know, zoning restrictions, and other parts that are just a little bit more, you know, view properties. So, yeah, tend to be more transplants from the mainland that, you know, kind of all their savings, they wanted to come and they could afford some land and build or buy a house and remodel it to their liking. The mix. I work at the school, which actually is being evacuated right now. And, you know, we have a lot of Native Hawaiians in the school, and many of them live in that neighborhood.
How many of your friends back here on Vashon have offered you a place to stay?
Oh, my gosh. I was just making a list of, you know, exploring options. And, maybe half a dozen.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Wow. Well, and are the rentals like you're in right now? Are people offering discounts to basically geographic refugees, geological refugees?
Yeah, we're lava refugees. Yeah. These people have been very kind, and through friends of ours, we were able to connect with a free place to stay until June 1. People are, you know, really coming together and accommodating and offering supplies and for people who really need it, and camp spots, and, you know, people are holed up, multiple families in separate rooms kind of thing. But it's going to wear off, and there are going to be more and more people evacuate. So we're really trying to decide what to do.
Yeah, I was reading yesterday about a thing called the Puna Geothermal Venture, which is a 12,000 gallons of flammable chemical fuel that is in that area, and they're very concerned about it and want to get it out of there so that it, you know, it doesn't wind up getting lava flowing through it and causing an explosion. Do you know if they've moved that chemical fuel yet?
Well, I've seen some trucks, and apparently they're in the process of doing that. They had originally moved it to another part of their property, but now they're moving it completely off towards Hilo to an industrial park. But it's going to take many, many truckloads, because I think it's 60,000 gallons.
60,000 gallons in 10 days. Supposedly they have.
Yeah.
By this morning, supposedly they've moved half of it, and they're in process.
Yeah.
it's a big concern. Pentane is quite flammable.
And, wow. And at the top of the conversation, you were saying that there's kind of a forecast, which is an odd thing, where they can actually predict what the what might happen. But they're saying that on Friday is where it could get, tomorrow is where it could get really nasty with a kind of an eruption of sorts.
Yeah, I think the Pu'u'o crater and the Halemaumau crater up at Volcano, you know, further up, it's imminent that it's going to reach that water table. And they said, yes, starting Friday and till beyond. I mean, they have no way of knowing.
Are you guys
seismographs up at Volcanoes National Park. I don't know if they can track things like that.
Are you going to stay where you are, or are you planning to get further away? Are you even thought that far ahead?
This morning we just talked about getting water. And so we had enough water because we're all in catchment water here, which will not be healthy to drink. We've been drinking out of bottled water right now. And who knows if they shut down the water stations where you can fill up. So we're trying to figure that out.
Well, Jane Howard and Doug Ringer are good friends from Vashon. We miss you, and we're worried about you, and we're thinking about you, and just hoping you get through this thing and get to move back to your house that has not been affected by any of this. Our fingers are crossed for you.
Yes, and all your friends and neighbors.
Well, thank you very much for being an island that we can go to in our minds, if not physically.
Yeah. Well,
refuge.
Yeah. Well, just hang in there and be safe, and we will keep track and keep people updated on your status through Facebook and other means. But thanks for joining us today and telling us this story.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff and Cindy. Nice talking to you as well.
Yeah. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks, Jane and Doug. So Cindy,
aloha.
All right, Cindy found a song she wanted to play for you. That
since it's Leilani's Estates, I bet you know what's coming.
Here is
Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby
singing "Sweet Leilani."
Take care, you guys.